Welcome to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite. We had an awesome show yesterday with Bill Moss from Fox Television and Howard Mudd, the offensive line coach for the Indianapolis Colts, on how to protect your franchise quarterback and Peyton Manning, what goes into developing a system that can deal with all the injuries and all of the chaos. And we even had Josh Brown talking about kicking the game-winning field goal against Seattle, for Seattle against the Rams, and of course the other side of the coin, which is Neil Rackers in that tragic Monday night game. We're going to talk about that more in the second half hour with Merrill Hodge, and don't tell anybody, but we're going to have a surprise guest for Merrill, somebody that he played with on the Pittsburgh Steelers, just to add a little flavor to this, a guy that was a backup to a guy named John Elway, and who knows a little bit about the quarterbacking position. And in our first segment coming up, we're going to talk with Hall of Famer Jim Palmer about last night's game, about what it means for the Cardinals now that Alex Pujols' hamstring seems to be a little bit better. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about this matchup. And, of course, we're going to talk about what could be the World Series matchup as well. Older pitchers, El Duque, how he might be able to be another factor in this if they ever make it that far. Coming up on Head Games Radio, Jim Palmer, one of the best announcers in baseball, talking about the playoffs. We'll be right back on Head Games Radio. Stay with us.
Smart business people know the difference between success and failure lies in the ability to grow. Being limited by your current facility adds up to lost productivity and even worse, lost revenue. You've looked at the price to build, but have you considered the cost of not building? With interest rates still attractive, now is the time to build that warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space you need. A pre-engineered steel building from General Steel will save you up to half the cost of a similar conventionally built structure, and it'll be erected in about half the time. From airplane hangars to riding arenas, gymnasiums, and churches, expand quickly and save money.
Call the General right now for your free estimate. 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298. And learn about our $20,000 rebate offer. 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Sterling Promotions, in association with Queensbury Media and Integrated Sports, presents the Mike Tyson World Tour. One of the most ferocious and entertaining boxers to ever enter the ring returns as boxing legend and former world champion Mike Tyson takes on heavyweight contender Corey Sanders in a four-round bout, plus an exciting night of undercard fights. The Mike Tyson World Tour, Friday, October 20th at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, live on pay-per-view. Call your pay-per-view provider for details.
Do you have dry skin, cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns? Then use Cracked Heel Skin Softener from Blue Goo. Cracked Heel has lecithin, lanolin, and beeswax, plus emu oil to penetrate and soften the skin. Just massage Cracked Heel into your feet twice a day and feel the difference. Your feet will thank you. No more pain from cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns. Make your next step a comfortable one with Cracked Heel Skin Softener. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Duane Reade.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out HeadGamesRadio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
Yes, I was fired. It happens to most coaches. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to just lie there in the fetal position and whimper?
You know, everybody thought that with an extra day's rest that Tom Glavin would have perhaps a little bit more zip and would be the answer for the Mets. Here's Bob Melvin, Diamondbacks manager, yesterday about what would happen if the Cards won, too.
You know, a guy like Tom Glavin, you know, it's being that he's 4 years old, not a power pitcher, I don't know how long this guy can pitch. It's, you know, the guys like Randy Johnson and Roger Clemens that really amazed me is that they're into their 40s and they're throwing as hard as they still do. You know, it's a lot easier for a guy that doesn't have the velocity to pitch, you know, later on in your career than the guys that are more command guys. So, you know, it's just a key game tonight for me. You know, if the Mets win tonight, they're going to find a way to win at home one of those games, whereas if St. Louis wins tonight and beats Glavin with Carpenter going the next game, I think the Mets are going to have a tough time of it.
That's Bob Melvin. We want to thank him. He'll be joining us later in the week as well. But joining us is a guy I think maybe the best guy covering baseball, certainly one of them, Jim Palmer. How are you?
I am fine. Thank you, Nick.
You know, Jim, we've been talking about when you were on before about the daunting Yankees lineup. But again, the pitching seems to be, for the most part, the ultimate determinant as well. What do you think happened last night? Do you think it was more about Albert Pujols having a healthy hamstring, given that he hadn't really done anything in the previous few games?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I was watching the game last night, and I found it interesting. There were a lot of games that I pitched over the course of my career where you're kind of going along, and, of course, you know, Glavin. I mean, if you watch the first game, it wasn't like he overpowered the Cardinals. So they did hit a lot of balls hard. I know they were trying to make some controversy on Fox last night about some of the things that Albert Pujols talked about, and Albert basically said, you know, he wasn't really that good. Now, that the result was good for Glavin the first time, but last night, I think a lot of times when if you're Tom Glavin, you're going out there, and, you know, second time through the order, Pujols gets a ball up in the zone, hits a home run, and I think anybody that follows baseball realizes he's probably, maybe arguably, the best hitter in baseball, you know, regardless of what the age is. I mean, he can hit pitches down and away and hit them over the right field fence. He reminds me very much of Frank Robinson, who I had a chance to play with. In fact, you know, Frank came over in 66 and won the Triple Crown for the Orioles and was the MVP for the second time, once in the National League and then in the American League. So, you know, you make good pitches, and I think that's the difference between good hitters and bad hitters. That was a bad pitch. Just about anybody could have hit that ball, but I think what happens is Pujols gets that hit last night. It happens to be a home run, and all of a sudden everybody on the Cardinals bench thinks, wait a minute, you know, we can solve Tom Glavin. And you know, I heard what Bob Melvin, and of course, you know, Bob played for the Orioles, and, you know, and I've known him as managing St. Louis or the Seattle Mariners and so forth. I really respect his opinion. And you know, he's right. Glavin's a, you know, he's a confidence guy. And, you know, he's going to get you out. He's going to make his pitches. And I think another factor that I think we overlook, when you're a command pitcher, you better have an umpire that's going to give you the ball off the corner. He had that the first time last night. The umpire made him throw the ball more over the plate, and that doesn't suit him well.
Well, tell me about that as a pitcher, because you do see it in at least every other game where a pitcher gets one or two pitches where he throws a perfect pitch right on the corner. It's not called. If you get one pitch like that per at bat, what is the difference in the outcome?
Well, it's not that. It's just the perfect example is if a lot of times if you throw a 1-0 pitch and if you throw a ball in the outside corner and it's called a strike, it goes to 1-1. Otherwise, it goes to 2-0. If you look at the numbers, you know, Rick Peterson, who's the pitching coach with the Mets, talks about the difference between strike one and strike two. And, you know, if you get strike one, and it's just dramatically easier to get hitters out. If you look, you know, the league average is under 200 when you get the two strikes. You know, there are just certain statistical numbers. I mean, there's little things like if you get the first batter out over the course of a season, I think the runner, the other team will score 15% of the time. If the first batter gets on, it goes all the way up to 49-50% of the time that the runner will score. Now, obviously, that doesn't happen every time. So I think a lot of times it just really depends. And, of course, if you're Tom Glavin, you don't want to be pitching, you know, 2-1 and 2-0 and hitters counts and 3-1, because then you have to throw your pitches for more of the plate. I mean, Jamie Moyer is very much like Glavin. He doesn't throw quite as hard as Tom, but, you know, once they get ahead, they can just make the hitter expand the strike zone. And I think we saw a little bit of it last night. The Cardinals had some great at-bats. When they got the second run to tie the game up, they were just, you know, dribblers to the right side. But that's what Glavin gives you, and that's what you have to take.
Let's talk about the middle innings as well. The killer instinct, we talked about it with Bob just to have a little fun at the beginning of the broadcast, Jim Palmer, about the Monday night game and the other Cardinals and how they gave that game away. And sometimes the killer instinct is that fourth quarter in football. It's the middle innings to some degree, perhaps, in baseball. Here's what Bob Melvin had to say.
Chance late in the game.
Well, it's the 27 hard outs. That's what we've been trying to preach here. And with the nucleus that we have coming up, that's what we're going to continue to do, is every out of the game means something. And a middle inning out is just as important as an early inning out or a late inning out. And when you talk about, you know, putting a team away, you know, offensively is what comes to mind. But defensively and on the pitching end are really going to be the keys in putting teams away. When you go out and score three runs, it's the pitcher's job to go back out there and get you back into that dugout. Let's have a 1-2-3 inning. Let's have an inning where they don't feel like they're going to get some base runners on there and score a run or two and get back in the game. It's a shutdown. You want to go back out there and shut that team down. It's just important defensively as it is offense.
And speaking of that, the middle innings in the fifth inning, David, is it Eckstein or Eckstein?
Eckstein.
He gets that base hit. He did a great job in the field at shortstop and gives him that run. What would you, if you were a manager, coach, I asked the same question to Bob yesterday, what do you do to get guys to have that intensity when it's not, it has to be self-imposed, the discipline to have that intensity in the middle innings?
Well, I think that any time you get to the championship series, you have teams that understand that. And, I guess the irony of this particular championship series between the Mets and the Cardinals is that in Game 2, the Mets bullpen imploded. And then in Game 4, the Cardinals bullpen imploded. And the Cardinals, of course, they have a very young pitching staff. I mean, Isringhausen, their closer, had hip surgery, so he's out for the year. So Adam Wainwright's had to close and have that job the last 3 weeks of the season. So, you know, it's an untested bullpen, and I think you're going to be ups and downs. And I think they all understand how important it is. And, you know, it's one thing to as a manager, and of course, Bob Melvin was a great catcher, too. I mean, you know, he was a defensive whiz. He was a catch-and-throw guy, so he understands the importance of trying to get your pitchers. But I think, and I think you're going to see this when you see the Tigers, even though they have a very young, hard-throwing pitching staff, they understand how to pitch. And all the teams get into the postseason. If you look at the American League, the Yankees had the sixth best pitching. Minnesota was third. The A's were second, and Detroit was number one. So all the teams in the American League in the top six in pitching, even though if we look at the Yankees, we figure that they just overwhelm everybody with their offense. But, you know, as you mentioned, in a close or short series, anytime good pitching, there's that age-old adage that does good pitching stop good hitting? Most of the time it does. And I think we've seen that a little bit with the Mets.
Well, then you've got what could be, if this plays out the way it looks, and no one can predict at this point, the old Detroit Cardinals challenge, which harkens back to 1968 when a guy named Mickey Lolish came out of nowhere, not really so much Denny McClain, and shut down the Cardinals and brought them back from the brink of death, if you will. Most people would say Detroit has the edge if that happens. They have the better pitching as well. How do you see the particular matchups between Detroit and the Mets and Detroit and the Cardinals?
Well, I think the American League, they won the last 8 straight World Series games. Now, that doesn't mean that you're that much better, but the All-Star game, as we all know, it gives you a distinct advantage if you get to play at home. Most of the American League teams are built about around their DH. So obviously the American League, if it does go 7 games in a World Series, would get to play and use their DH at home 4 times. So that's a huge advantage for them. You know, once again, you have Kenny Rogers. I mean, here's a guy. I get a little misled by radar guns. I mean, I was watching the game he pitched against the Yankees, they had him at 93 miles per hour. Well, you know, the only way he could throw 93 miles per hour is if he drove down the highway in a car going 92 miles per hour and tossed it out the window. But it doesn't mean he doesn't know how to pitch. But he's on a roll. And, you know, once again, you know, I think there's an age-old thing. You would know it as a guy that used to kick field goals. Does success build confidence or does confidence build success? And I think it just varies from individual to individual, from team to team. You know, if you went back 10 days, 12 days ago and said to the Tigers, you think you can beat the Yankees after the way they played the last 2-3 weeks, the last month of the season, they'd go, gee, we really don't know. But again, in a short series, and that's what the World Series will be, the Tigers are a very good ball club. You know, if you go back to, you know, 68, McClain wins 31 games, but anybody that ever saw Mickey Lolich pitch, you know, he pitched, I think, over 350 innings. I saw him pitch two back-to-back two games where he maybe threw one or two pitches in the middle of the plate in 18 innings. So this guy was a masterful guy. He's left-handed. It gives you a distinct advantage, just as Kenny Rogers is. So, you know, the Tigers, you know, they have Verlander, who's young. This is his first full year in the major league. So, you know, the extra days are probably going to help him. You know, whether it'll help his command, I don't really know. But just think about it. If the Cardinals would win tonight, Chris Carpenter is not going to pitch till the third game of the World Series, and that's going to be his distinct disadvantage, Tony La Russa, if the Cardinals win.
Well, I like your analysis for that. Let's look at Chris Carpenter and what he brings to the game with John Main. Both of them have pitched reasonably well. Carpenter has certainly been efficient as well. What about this next matchup, and who would you give the edge to?
Well, Carpenter won the Cy Young Award last year. I saw Chris in the American League. He had all kinds of arm problems. He can pitch inside. He's got a pitch that not too many pitchers have, which is a big overhand curveball. John Main actually came out of the Oriole organization. I did a number of his games last year, and he could not command the ball away to left-handers. He was much better in. This year he's pitched pretty well, pretty much went to the bullpen until you had the injuries to Pedro Martinez and El Duque. But the bottom line is, this is if they can get five innings out of John Main in New York tonight and he can keep them in the ballgame, they're going to go to the bullpen. And what's going to happen is Carpenter's going to be a guy that's going to pitch 6 to 8 innings, somewhere in that range. And, I think that Tony La Russa knows he'd love to win. He does not want this to go to seven games, and they're going to try to win tonight. And they have arguably one of the best pitchers in the National League going for the Cardinals. And, you know, John Main, good stuff, but he's very, very young, and he doesn't have the kind of experience that Chris Carpenter has.
When we come back, final thoughts from Jim Palmer about age and why in sports, whether it's the NFL, the NBA, or Major League Baseball. Some of these young guys are playing a fearless brand of baseball. We'll be right back.
Shriners, building a better tomorrow for kids. Born with a severe facial deformity, a series of operations at one of the 22 Shriners hospitals gave Tasha Alsbury a new lease on life.
The Shriners are my heroes. I think that if I wouldn't have had these surgeries, then I would have been more self-conscious about myself. I think that I look better. I feel better about myself. Shriners is a great place to come. It doesn't feel like you're at a hospital. It's more like coming to some kind of summer camp. When the word hero comes to mind, people you can look up to, people who do wonderful things, and I guess that's what a Shriner is to me.
Some of the world's best orthopedic and burn medical care is available totally without charge at Shriners Hospitals for Children. There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. For information, call 1-800-237-5055.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-981-7596. 800-981-7596. 800-981-7596.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that's helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
It's been 3 months now. I've been on Avacor, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old.
We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair. Call 800-450-9743 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now, 800-450-9743. All of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free.
Avacor really works. I just love it. It's like a miracle. I couldn't be happier.
Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. That's 800-450-9743. 800-450-9743.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
You saw it Monday night in the Monday Night Football game with a guy in Matt Leinart showing at the age of, what, 22, 23, unusual maturity. Jim Palmer, you pitched at the age of 20 in the big games, the ultimate big games, and did very well. You had, I think, a nice surrounding complement of veterans to help you, and as you talked about earlier on a previous interview, that helped you model yourself and how you carried yourself. You stayed within yourself as well. You look at this Detroit staff with Bonderman, 23, Verlander, 23, Zumaya, 21. And my question to you is, what is happening with today's athletes? Is it the fact that you get exposed not just on television but radio, the internet, you have videos everywhere, you have a chance just like around the world now to model yourself after the best athletes, so guys are just naturally maturing more early?
Well, I think it's a combination of that and sports medicine. I mean, everything, the training methods are so much better. If you go back into the 60s and even into the early 70s, it was pretty much more corrective things than preventive things. Of course, the NFL got, you know, very much into trying to say, okay, you know, what kind of forces are certain players going to have to, you know, come up against, so we're going to try to develop their bodies and, you know, get into weight training and so forth and whatever. Obviously, some guys took it over the limit a little bit, as you know, and we read about those on a daily basis. But I honestly believe, and Nick, it's kind of an interesting thing to me, you know, when you come out of high school, I came out of high school at age 17 in Scottsdale, Arizona, and, you know, went to A-ball, played for Cal Ripken Senior. We had a great team, won 14 in a row in spring training, 25 of the first 29. You know, the starting staff, Davey Leonard was 16 and 4, Tom Fisher was 15 and 6, Eddie Watt was 14 and 1.
I can't believe you can remember all this.
Well, I was 11 and 3, and Mike Davison was 11 and 4. That was our starting staff on this team. So I got used to winning. But, you know, then I went to the big leagues when I was 19, and I had Robin Roberts as my roommate. And I had Charlie Lau sitting out in the bullpen, and I spent a lot of time out there. And I was with Sherm Lawler, who was a bullpen coach, who was a great catcher with the White Sox. You know, I had Harvey Haddix, who pitched the 11-inning perfect game. You know, we had Stu Miller, one of the great relief pitchers of that era, you know, with a great changeup. I had Dick Hall, who came up as a third baseman, who became a 6'6", one of the best relief pitchers. You know, and I used to run with him because he was highly conditioned. So you try to surround yourself, but at the end of the day, you still fail. You still get the opportunity to get experience. And if you look at Jeremy Bonderman, I mean, he was part of that team and lost 119 games. I think most people thought he was going to lose 20 that year. He ended up losing 19. But he has good stuff. You know, he's very tenacious. He's a hard worker. You know, you don't win games at the major league level by yourself. You know, you do certain things that allow your teams to win. You know, it's not high school. It's not even college in a sense. So I think it takes you a while to understand it. And I think once you understand it, I mean, the greatest thing that, other than Jim Leland, that the Tigers did this year was go out and get Kenny Rogers. Because here's a veteran guy who, you know, he won. He led the Rangers in wins last year, but he had that altercation with a cameraman, never apologized to the Rangers. Apparently they didn't have that sit well with him. So he ends up signing a 2-year deal. You know, he has a great year. He gives them a lot of their experience. He can sit on the bench with them. When you go through the normal times you do as a young pitcher, which is sometimes you succeed, sometimes you fail, you have somebody to sit there and discuss it with. You know, Jim Leland is a terrific manager. I mean, he's an old school guy, but he certainly knows how to relate to people. So, you know, they have the best of all worlds. And I think for one of the few times in recent history since they had the designated hitter, the American League ERA and the National League ERA were almost the same this year. It's usually about 0.4 of a run to a half a run higher in the American League, but the Tigers had a lot to do with it. They have terrific pitching, and that's what you're going to see when you see the Tigers in the World Series.
Well, here's the point I'm making is as we've been talking about Joe Torre and what was missing from the Yankees lineup, and do you have possibly a critical mass of too many stars, what I see is with Jim Leland, with Detroit, is creating a climate of mentoring, you know, where the veterans truly understand they have a responsibility, as Kenny Rogers sees, to work with the younger players. And he's taken that upon himself. I did not see that with the Yankees. I'm sure a lot of good things were going on, but it's almost as if they want to show respect by not trying to give advice too much. There isn't that climate where there is some sort of, you know, relationship where they can have that exchange. Do you believe that might have some merit?
Well, you know, normally with the Yankees, it's very difficult as a young player to come up and succeed. But if you look at last year, Robinson Cano comes up, and, you know, Jeter really helps him out very, you know, and he goes on to have a very good year, almost won a batting title this year in his second year of the major leagues. He did have the hamstring injury, so he missed about 6 weeks. But, you know, Melky Cabrera came up because of the injuries to, you know, Hideki Matsui in left field, and then, of course, Sheffield hurt his wrist and was out about 2.5 months. So, I'm not sure if they missed that. I just think that the big difference with the Yankees was that the Tigers had better pitching. And just think about it. If you're the Detroit Tigers, do you want to have to beat the Yankees 3 out of 5, or you want to have to try to beat them 4 out of 5 with that offense? Because at the end of the day, whether the Yankees, you know, ended up losing or not, they still have a terrific offense, and the more you have to play them, the more you get a chance to see that offense and what it can do against you. So I think, you know, in the final month of September with the Tigers and the Twins vying to see who was going to win the division, as it turns out, I think a lot of people in Minnesota said, well, if we're going to have to beat the Yankees, it's a lot easier to do it only 3 times than it is to do 4 times. And if you think back at the 2004 when the Red Sox, they were down 3-0 against the Yankees. You know, and if it had been 3 out of 5, not that the two teams in the same division can play each other, that series would have been over. So I think, you know, the Tigers get a break. As it turns out, they play the Yankees. They only have to beat them 3 times instead of 4. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Oakland A's didn't have a chance. I mean, I did Oakland all year long, and I still, you know, Billy Beane does whatever he wants to, but Ken Maka did a terrific job. They had Frank Thomas and, you know, just a bunch of role players and pretty good pitching. But other than that, everybody was wondering, how are these guys winning? But they seemed to do it until they got the Tigers, and the Tigers just steamrolled them.
Well, a final comment, and we're bringing in Merrill Hodge. I love to crossbreed experts in two different sports. Merrill, I'll never forget looking down the sidelines in 1989 with that young Chiefs team that was trying to turn the corner with a new coach in Marty Schottenheimer, and Mike Webster's there. Mike Webster, in the last couple years of his career, 4 Super Bowl rings. He wasn't wearing them on the sidelines. It didn't matter. You had a different sense about the sidelines with him. And then suddenly we add a guy named Marcus Allen and Joe Montana, and that's a different kind of mentoring, because Joe's not the kind of guy that's going to talk a lot, but just because of their example, having a couple of those people. So my question to you is, as you look at the Yankees, maybe having too many of those big time, too many Mike Websters, if you will, and not creating a sort of anticipation, a culture that the older guys have got to bring, in addition to hazing them and having some fun with that, it's bringing them into the culture. What do you think about that? Do you think the Yankees maybe would do better to let A-Rod go, let's say, to the Cubs, and create more of that kind of culture of mentoring?
You know, I guess I always refer back to the 1980 Olympic team when we won the gold. And one of the standards that was set, for help me with the coach that coached our Olympic team in 80, that when we won the gold,
Herb Brooks. Herb Brooks,
to me, said it most eloquently. You know, he went in, he said, listen, all-star teams don't win for a reason, because they're about individuals. There's no way you can bring an all-star team together and win anything, because you got to formulate a team, and there's all different makeups that create a team. You know, now Mac Webster's probably a bad example to use, because he's the epitome of a team. But when you think of, you know, star player, I mean, you take the put together an NFC All-Pro team and take the best team in the AFC, and the best team in the AFC will whip that team. You know, I've always believed that. You know, for every one star in the NFL, there's 5 role players. And, you know, they have to be willing to accept that and do their very best and not worry about, you know, being the star. And the more stars that I think you have, the more want to be that star, and therefore they lose sight and focus on being a team. So I've always used that as a model for him, what they did in the Olympics. And I think it's true in all sports. To really develop a team, you just need all different kinds of makeups. You can't have a bunch of stars to get it done.
Absolutely. Well, we want to thank Jim Palmer for your insight, as always, my friend. And I just want to go on record as saying we're sorry that Steve Lyons isn't still announcing in the playoffs. Don't know exactly what happened, but our heart and our support goes to him. Hope he's back soon. Thanks for joining us, Jim. Appreciate
it. Okay, you're welcome. Take care.
Class Act Jim Palmer will be right back with Merrill Hodge and Seth Joyner on Head Games Radio. It's NFL Update in just a second.
always like to be up on everything that's going down. I've got love to keep me warm and tickets now to keep me cool. Tickets to the biggest game, the coolest concerts, and the hottest shows down in the Pretty People Rows. Tickets now has lots of those. And even when the others say, sorry, sold out, Tickets Now will ask you, where would you like to sit? Check it out at ticketsnow.com. Tickets Now, the power of in.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
How would you like to make a full-time income working from home? Now you can with the proven work-from-home system at homebiz47.com. That's homebiz, the number 47.com. Order your free work-at-home training package today. See how you could spend more time with your family and earn more income than you ever imagined.
Life is absolutely amazing now. I have a business that allows me to be a full-time stay-at-home mom. I can work from home and actually bring in a six-figure income. My husband will be retiring out of corporate America in a few short months at the age of 36 and be coming home to work with me full-time. And our daughter will have both parents at home, which is absolutely phenomenal.
Order your free work-at-home training package and free DVD by logging on to homebiz47.com. Shipping is not included. Change your life. Log on to homebiz, the number 47.com. That's homebiz47.com.
If you're self-employed or you run a small business and you need competitive health insurance, pick up the phone and call the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. 866-503-MEGA. You don't even have to leave your home or office. Call us now and a friendly Mega Health representative will come to you and explain your health insurance options. So again, if you're self-employed, run a small business, or if you're on a COBRA plan and it's about to expire and you need dependable, reliable health insurance, call Mega Health now for a free quote. 866-503-MEGA. 866-503-MEGA. That's 866-503-MEGA. These competitive health insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company, and coverage may not be available in all states, so call now and see if you qualify. 866-503-MEGA. 866-503-MEGA. That's 866-503-MEGA.
It takes the same thing to get to the Super Bowl and win that it takes to get there and lose. You know, it's not the NBA where you got a seven-game series once you get the net in the final. You got to get it done that day.
And now, back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
Welcome back to Head Games Radio. We want to thank Jim Palmer for joining us and Bob Melvin and his contribution to the discussion. But now we're shifting to the NFL, and we're joined by Seth Joyner, who's regularly on Jim Rome, and Rome is Burning, if you will, and Merrill Hodge, who does a tremendous job on ESPN. Guys, let's have a little fun here. I find it ironic that the guy that almost had his head snapped off last week, as in Larry Johnson, by Antrell Raleigh, near the end of that very close game, yet another loss for the Cardinals, is the same guy that grabbed Troy Polamalu's hair and almost ripped his head off as well. What comment do you have on that? Let's first start with Seth Joyner.
Hey, you know, anything that you can grab on is fair game. If he wants to wear it down his back, then you know what? If that's the best way for me to get him down, no problem whatsoever.
What about you, Merrill?
Well, Nick, you know what? I mean, it's actually part of the uniform, so you can grab anything possible. As I said, actually no problem with that. It's when he was done that he yanked his head up off the ground that I have a problem with. You know, when you speak of a guy who just got his head about ripped off with a face mask.
Right.
You know, there's no reason for him to grab his hair and yank his head up afterwards, after it was concluded. Now, he said he got his hand caught on there. Well, I watched that play like 8 or 9 times from the end zone angle. No, he didn't. He deliberately pulled his hair up after he was done. You know, that's the stuff you just don't need. I mean, can he tackle him with it? Absolutely. It's clean. It's fair. But afterwards, you don't need that stuff.
Well, let's stick with that game because Pittsburgh had to win. They're playing in Pittsburgh. Troy Polamalu has had, I think most people would say, a pretty average or poor year this year up till that game. What's been the key for him? Is it simply that his injury is beginning to heal and that defense is beginning to regain some confidence? What happened in that game? Certainly the Chiefs weren't the same team.
Well, you know, I think just when you talk about him, you know, he had a bad shoulder, and you could just tell even in a Monday night game against Jacksonville and San Diego, he's not able to be his normal active self. And you can tell that it was obviously significantly better against the Kansas City Chiefs, because the one thing I will say about him is he is must-see television. He is must-see TV on the defensive side of the ball, because you try to count for players, and accounting for players is kind of knowing where they're going to be. You know, like this week against Michael Vick, I mean, listen, he's a very difficult player to account for, but the one thing, you at least know where he starts and you know where he's going to come from. So you have a chance at somewhat containing him. With Troy, you don't. I mean, shoot, he'll start, you know, 20 yards deep and start wandering down and wandering down, and then he'll be at run support in the A-gap. You know, and how could you possibly ask your offensive line or a running back unless you just took it back and said, listen, wherever he goes, go, but then you have to give up somebody in the box that running back would be responsible for. So he's a difficult guy to defend, you know, and they give him that freedom. You know, they give him that freedom to do that. They incorporate that range, and, you know, when he's hot and he's healthy, no player in football that's more excited than he is.
Okay, moving over to the other side of the ball, Seth Joyner, Ben Roethlisberger, another poor year up till the game against the Chiefs. Here's Len Dawson about what the Chiefs seem to give Ben Roethlisberger that he hasn't had until last Sunday.
I tell you, they simply out-hit, out-hustled, and out-everything Kansas City. That, from the Kansas City point of view, that should be an embarrassment because they were down 31-0 at halftime. And what happened was, you know how to get a quarterback back in sync and that? Give him lots of time back there in the pocket to survey what's going on down the field. That way, if particularly in the middle, when they take the defensive tackles and push them sideways so he can see what is down there, then he's going to make better decisions. And that's exactly what happened yesterday with Roethlisberger.
That's Len Dawson. Seth, do you think it was more about the Chiefs playing a poor game, or do you think that it was one of those examples of Pittsburgh finally figuring out the right game plan?
I think it's a combination of things. First of all, I think that Ben is finally starting to get back to himself. Secondly, Pittsburgh wasn't really down in this football game. The game takes on a different flavor when offensively you're down. Willie Parker, you know, got a little more involved. They ran the ball a little more effectively. You know, and Ben makes a great point. Anytime you can give the quarterback plenty of time, he's going to feel comfortable in the pocket. You know, you look at the other games that Ben played, it seemed like he was running for his life the entire time. They really couldn't protect him because they didn't, you know, they were behind. There was a situation where they had to throw the ball. And then secondly, you know, even though Willie Parker has played well, it's one thing to gain yards when it doesn't count. It's another thing to gain yards, you know, that helps to keep your offense balanced. And they were balanced out the box, and Ben's rhythm was great. And therefore, you know, he had a phenomenal game.
Well, speaking of running for your life as a quarterback, I thought we'd have a little fun here. And a certain Bubby Brister is joining us, a guy that Merrill Hodge knows well. And, Bubby, those wonderful years in a Pittsburgh uniform following Terry Bradshaw had to be kind of fun running for your life. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. How y'all doing?
Dude, this show just took on a whole new when he enters, baby.
You dang right it did. What's up, bro? What's happening?
Hey, bro, I got to send you an email. I got these elk pictures you'd be dying to see, man. Some people.
Hey, I got one, too, that guy that killed that 580 or whatever, but I'm ready to kill one myself.
I know.
I'm looking at all these pictures. You had any luck?
They were salmon fishing, and they snagged it, pulled it up out of the river back in Idaho. It was about a 6x6. I got to send you this.
Yeah, right. That's my story.
All I can say is, hey, Bubby, if they'd allowed you to have a gun on the sidelines in New York, you would have had one, and we might have won a few more games. What were we, 3-13 and 1-15, buddy? But
we all
needed
a gun with that team.
We did. We could have shot a few people, but seriously, as you look at Ben Roethlisberger and the up and down nature of this season for him and what he has brought as a young quarterback, we talked about young pitchers and young athletes maturing. Maybe a little bit faster than in the past, Matt Leinart being a good example, Jim Palmer, who was on in the first segment of the Age of 20 in the World Series, being one of the exceptions from earlier. But what do you think's happening to Ben? Do you think the fact that simply the Chiefs didn't put pressure on him was the answer, and now that Hines Ward looks a little bit healthier, that they're back on track?
Well, there's a lot of different ways you can look at it. I mean, last year they played well, and they surprised some teams, and you know, they had a few other players that are on other teams now. But as you progress, after you've had a good season, you play harder teams. People are gunning for you. You have a bullseye on your chest, and it's just that much harder. And I think people are doing that this year to Pittsburgh, and they lost, like I said, they lost a couple of players, key players, and it's just hard. I mean, I used to tell people too, we get beat or whatever. I said, damn, people on the other side of the ball get paid too. I mean, you can't be great every week. I mean, they're going to play well, and it's going to be tough. So it's just part of the deal in the NFL, and you have to deal with it, and you have to overcome adversity. If you can't, somebody else will.
Well, we're going to get to what you did, I think, to help John Elway, and we had some fun trying to survive those poor years under Richie Kotite in New York. But before that, you know, the idea of following a veteran and mentoring relationships, some teams have that sort of culture where the older players actually pull their heads out of their butts and realize the team comes first, and you were left there to follow a legend. What was that like for you? We knew it was really tough. We knew the expectations were unrealistic. Pittsburgh fans are crazy rabid fans as well, but what was that like for you?
Well, actually, I followed Mark Malone. Mark Malone was one that came in behind Terry, and Mark was, he had a couple of tough years, and I came in behind him. I actually played some as a rookie, but I wasn't quite ready. Then the next year, I was ready to take on the responsibility of being a starting quarterback. But it's tough, and especially in Pittsburgh, you know, well, according anywhere. I mean, look at the Broncos when Jake wasn't playing well a couple weeks ago. They'll boo you out of any stadium. But it's just tough being a young quarterback coming into this league, and it takes time to learn, and you need a supporting cast. I mean, there's no great quarterback except for Archie Manning that plays on a bad team. You have to have a good team around you and a supporting cast for a quarterback to have any kind of success in that league, period, the end.
And we used to say, of course, that the offensive line is critical to any quarterback at any level having time to throw, and that's what Ben Roethlisberger had. But there's another phenomenon, Seth Joyner, which is it seems as if even the great running backs now are having poor years because their offensive lines aren't getting it done.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, look at a guy like Edgerrin James. For all that he's accomplished in Indianapolis, he comes down here and the line's not getting it done, and everybody, you know, wants to throw the onus on him. I still think he's still the Edgerrin James of old. You don't have to give him a whole lot of room, but, you know, a running back can't operate if he gets hit in the backfield. He can at least get to the line of scrimmage or at least break the first line of defense, get on the linebackers and maybe on the secondary. Well, now, he's the type of runner that can make some guys miss, that can, you know, break some tackles. But, you know, defenses, the game goes through cycles. You know, back when I played towards the middle of my career, it was a defense-oriented league. And then, you know, you saw a lot of rule changes to allow offenses to score more points, to give the offense the upper hand.
Can't hit the quarterbacks anymore?
Well, sure, but, I mean, you know, it's
those
all
poor guys.
It's all designed, you know, to put points on the board and to make the game much more entertaining. I understand that. And you've seen the run of spread offenses all of a sudden. All the offenses that used to be third down offenses, you're seeing them on first and second down now, where back in the day you never saw that ever before. I think one of the first teams to do that was the Redskins. But I think you're going through another progression all over again. You know, defenses have learned how to adjust, and I think you're seeing some better, you know, better and better defenses as the years, you know, evolve. And I think that cycle is starting to change a little bit. Teams realize that, you know, pressure is the great equalizer.
They just I didn't know you were on. It's Bubby, man. How you doing, Bud?
Hey, Bub, how you doing, man?
Man, I miss seeing you guys. Everything going all right?
It's all good, man.
Good.
It's all good.
I have to look you up when I get out that way.
No doubt. But, okay, you know, you have to put pressure on today's quarterbacks, because you don't have Elways and you don't have Marinos and you don't have guys like that are willing to stand in the pocket and take the heat. So if you come with the pressure, you can change the outlook of any game that you want, but you got to have the personnel on the other side of the ball. You got to have the corners, you got to have the linebackers that can cover, and you got to have, you know, some linemen that can get after the pass rush.
Hey guys, we only have a couple minutes left in this segment, and we got another 4-minute segment, but I want to shift to Bubby, the idea again about mentoring on teams. We asked Merrill about it, and I want your comments about the teams that have that. It looks like you have that with New England for the most part. The coaches create that as well. Tell me about coming to Denver from a very depressing situation, I guess essentially a year off for you, and then playing that role as the backup. I mean, people would say on paper, big deal. Who, you know, what did he contribute? But in reality, it seemed like John Elway could relax a lot. What was that like for you? And Merrill, we both know that Bubby Brister brings an energy and a character and a personality and a humor, so guys, just don't get too uptight.
The history of the game, brother, the most underrated quarterback ever to play.
Oh, come on, dog.
Ever to play. They could write a book. They write two books on just the huddle with that guy.
No books. I saw Roman Allen coming out with a book the other day. I said, I hope I'm not in that thing. But to answer your question, going to Denver was it was a breath of fresh air, and that was really the first time in my career where I felt okay being the backup. When you're a backup quarterback and you're on a team that you think you're as good as or better than somebody, it's always a funny feeling. But when you back up a guy like John Elway or Dan Marino or somebody like that, you know where you stand. So you always stay ready and you try to do things to help them in other ways, like, you know, crack some jokes, play pranks or whatever, but you still have to be ready to play, and you also have to play well against your first defense to give them a good look on the other team. And that was one of my strong suits. I would try to do as well as I could against our defense to make them better for Sunday. But playing with John was unbelievable, winning two Super Bowls. I'm still pinching myself. When I got there and we were beat by guys like John Elway and those guys, now you know why, that they can come back and they beat guys at the end of the game, and then like the Montanas and the Elways. Playing with the guy, I finally figured out that there's good quarterbacks and there's great quarterbacks, and then there's quarterbacks like Michael Jordan, and they're a whole nother level. So it was exciting to be around somebody with that caliber of talent.
Well, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, though, there are also teammates like Bubby Brister and Seth Joyner and Merrill Hodge. We're going to talk to each one of you for the last few minutes about what is the stuff that nobody ever heard about on the sidelines. What's the best joke, the best prank, the best thing you ever did to get people relaxed on the sidelines and ready to perform? We'll be right back with Final Thoughts in just a second.
Chances are you're paying too much for life insurance. So why not make a free phone call right now that could save you up to 50%, maybe even more, on quality term life insurance from Matrix Direct Insurance Services. Whether you're buying life insurance for the first time or cutting back on the cost of an overpriced policy, one free call to Matrix Direct is the simple and affordable way to get the term life insurance you need. Call Matrix Direct today, because chances are you're paying too much for life insurance. Here's the number, 1-800-471-TERM. The call is free, the quote is free, and there's no obligation. Call Matrix Direct now, 1-800-471-TERM, 1-800-471-TERM. That's 1-800-471-TERM. Call now. Don't let the high cost of healthcare keep you from getting critical medical care when you desperately need it. Because now there's an affordable solution. Prudent Choice is a healthcare discount program that gives you and your family discounts of 10 to 60% off the cost of doctors, dentists, hospitals, prescription drugs, and more. With a provider network of over 850,000 doctors, hospitals, dentists, and pharmacies, Prudent Choice members can easily take advantage of cost savings nationwide. Even chiropractic, hearing, and vision care are included. And here's the best part. $39.99 per month covers all your health care needs. That's little more than a dollar a day for all the health care services you'll need. Don't let the high cost of medical care stand in the way of you and your family's good health. Call Prudent Choice now at 1-800-231-0429. That's 1-800-231-0429. Call now. Get $300 in healthcare services free. Call in the next 9 minutes, and with annual membership, get 2 months free. Call Prudent Choice at 1-800-231-0429. 1-800-231-0429.
Hi, I'm Robert Wagner with an important message for homeowners 62 years or older. If you own a home, you may be able to pay off your current mortgage or access the equity in your home without making any monthly loan payments. That's right, no monthly loan payments. A U.S. government-insured reverse mortgage allows you to convert the equity in your home into cash, giving you the financial independence you deserve. The tax-free proceeds won't affect Social Security or Medicare benefits, and you can use the money for almost any purpose you desire. The Senior Lending Network program has prepared a free educational video that explains how a reverse mortgage works, how to qualify, and how you can supplement your income without any monthly loan payments. If you're a homeowner 62 years or older, your free video is waiting. So call now.
For a free educational video from the Senior Lending Network on reverse mortgages, call 800-995-4280. 800-995-4280.
Senior Lending Network is a program by Mortgage Warehouse, licensed mortgage banker, New York State Banking Department. Caller's information will be shared with lenders who are members of the program. Consult your tax advisor regarding tax implications.
Barkley coming soon on the show, and I thought we'd start this segment, guys, with his insight into the few teams that have that idea of working together and putting other people on the team first.
You know, I played in the NBA for 16 years, and only on five of those teams, Pat Riley has a phrase. He's called it voluntary cooperation. I played for 16 years. Only on five of those teams that we really just wanted to win. We had everybody on board. And what I mean by that is sometimes you got guys complaining about playing time. You got an old guy who's trying to get numbers. Got a young guy trying to get numbers. They got their own agenda.
That's Charles Barkley. Let's first start with Merrill Hodge. What's the best anecdote you have, the example of guys on the sideline? Forget about X's and O's, of working together to get guys loose to be able to get it done during a game.
The best example, you know, it's kind of funny that, you know, it's interesting. Seth Joyner's on here, you know, and he was a guy that made you want to compete to a higher level. You know, Seth and I played against each other, God, what, Seth, four or five different times during our career, six maybe, where, you know, if the better they are on the other side, the more you want to compete. You know, I could always tell what kind of team we had based on people who wanted to compete. You know, and believe it or not, in the NFL, and both of these guys, Bob and Seth, can attest to this, there are some guys, if it's a physical football game, want nothing to do with it. And I've literally been on the sideline and had guys ask, how hard are they hitting out there? And I'm like, are you kidding me? Who in the heck would ask how hard you're hitting out there and then want nothing to do with it, especially if you're behind or you're getting beat? You know, and so you kind of assess what kind of team you have there. I think, you know, playing for Chuck Knoll was one of the great experiences of my life because, you know, I think we went 5-11 one year. It may have been my first year there, and it was
Philadelphia.
Mark Malone was just leaving as quarterback, and, you know, Chuck was asked, he goes, this has got to be a hard team to evaluate. And he said, absolutely not. It'll be the easiest team I've ever evaluated. I know who quit and I know who didn't. You know, and he knew, you know, the people that would continue to play in adverse situations and those who wouldn't.
Bubby, what's the craziest thing you ever did on the sideline that worked in terms of getting the guys to get back their heads back in the game?
Nick, you know me. I can't say that on the air. Hey, but Merrill's right about Seth and those guys. That's one reason we were 5-11 that year. We had to play Philadelphia, and guys that had defense like that, they knocked the living fire out of you. Until you can compete on both sides of the ball and you can stand up and fight back, it's a tough game. But I agree with Merrill 100% on that deal.
Well, I know that burping had to do something with it. But, hey, Seth, final thoughts in 10 seconds, 15 seconds. Best memory of sideline leadership?
I can't really, you know, think of any one instant. I think it was more of a situation where, you know, the guys I played with in Philadelphia, it was a healthy dose of competition among competition. You know, if Reggie got three sacks, Clyde wanted four. You know, if I had 12 tackles, Byron wanted 24. You know, and it
listen, guys, unfortunately, we got
to
go for now. But thanks, Seth. Thanks, Bubby. Bye-bye. Thanks, right, Merrill, guys. Appreciate it. You're the best. We'll see you tomorrow on Head Games Radio. Take care. Thanks for listening.